Well, we're going to go ahead and continue on a series of sermons that we started a couple weeks ago called Signs. And if you haven't been with us or you haven't heard me say this, I'll probably say this almost every Sunday. But you must know that Matthew 24 tells us very clearly that we do not know the hour or the day that this is going to happen. But Matthew 24 also does not tell us that we don't know the season that we're in. In fact, the sons of Issachar, which I've said again multiple times, I'll repeat this again, the sons of Issachar, David's own mighty men, were known and they were honored for knowing not only the season that they're in, but also how to respond to the season that they were in. And so for all of us here today, I just want to make sure that you understand that we are by no means telling you that we know an hour or a day, because that is ludicrous. And anyone that tells you an hour or a day, or even the year of the coming of the Lord, you need to run from. Or pray for really, really hard. Either way, for that person. Because we do not know. Scripture is very, very clear. Jesus doesn't even know when that return is coming. But, everyone has a but. I didn't mean it that way, but okay, it works that way too. All right. But... That's funny. But we do know the signs. We can read the signs of what's going on around us, right? I mean, I hope that the Holy Spirit's convicting you and you can feel it too, because we are coming into some times that we need to be aware of. And so we've been talking about this. The last few weeks, we've talked about several different things. The first week, we talked about false prophets and how to identify them and what to look for as we're going through our lives, and what we should look for, and how we can identify false prophets. We also then talked about, my mind just drew a complete blank. That's funny. Yes, thank you. Well, last week we spoke about the red heifers, and what that means, and all that's going on there. It's amazing to see all of that's going on. There was one in between, and I can't remember, for whatever reason. Anyway. All right. However, what we're going to look at today, and I'm going to break this up into two parts, because it is such a large part. I want to address a couple things that are going on today, and I need to address this, and I want to be very careful how I address this, and I want to be very careful how I say this. The state of Israel is going to play a large role in the end times. It is all about Israel and the state of Israel. And I don't know if you've been paying any attention, but on college campuses across the United States, there's been protests, pro-Palestinian protests, and all of these things. Interesting thought. I don't know if you've ever watched, if you've been watching the news. A lot of them have the same color tents. A lot of them have the same printed signs. A lot of them have the same words that they're speaking. Almost sounds like someone's behind the scene planning this on a large scale across the whole United States. Things that make you go, hmm. But we have to understand something. I want to be very careful how I say this. Israel, the country of Israel, is no larger, or it's actually less in landmass than the state of New Jersey. Do you know that? Do you know that Israel has many wonderful things that come out of Israel, but the landmass, the basic landmass, is smaller than the state of New Jersey. Israel also has less people than most countries do in, like, Israel has less people than we do in many of our states. It is a known fact that the state of Israel is not a large country. It's not huge. Its resources are huge, and they've been able to do some things on their own that we'll talk about. But we have to understand that there is something going on there. How can a country the size of a state, a small state in the United States, cause the global scene to go unrest like it is today? Now, if you think that it's all geopolitical, I just want to tell you, you need to keep reading into this, because there's more than just a political issue that's going on here. The state of Israel is being, The state of Israel is in the news today. It's in the top mind. A lot of people are talking about the destroying Israel. They're talking about doing all of these things. Why? Because what's going on is clearly not just a political battle. You have to understand it. What's going on is something that's happening spiritually as well. Scripture, I don't know if you understand this, but Scripture tells us very clearly that we are to bless the state of Israel. We'll read this in a moment. But what I find as I talk with many Christians and as I talk with many people, many individuals have no clue not only what the country of Israel, the role that it's going to play in the end times, but also what are we supposed to do, right? As Christians, what are we supposed to do? We see on the news and college campuses all around the United States, and we see all of these protests going on. What are we supposed to do as Christians? How are we supposed to, what is our response? How are we supposed to respond to this? And today what I want to do is I want to just look at this, and I want to, before we even get into the role and the signs that we see that Israel is going to be playing in the end times, that'll be next week, what I want to talk about is the biblical statement of why we as Christians have to look fondly on the country of Israel and why we should be aware of this. Now, again, I want to be very clear to you. Any country, any person, whether they're Christian or not, has reasons to be exalted and has reasons to not be exalted, right? Any one of us in this room have not done everything correctly that we should have done. We've said things that we should not have done. We've hurt people that we should not have hurted. We've done things. And so when we look at this and we look at this Christian statement, when we look at the biblical statement for Israel, we're going to look at this. We're going to identify these things and we're going to read through these things. But you also have to understand that not everyone always does something right. The country of Israel, the people of Israel, the Jewish people have been messing things up since Adam and Eve. Let me be very careful. We have been messing things up since Adam and Eve. We're part of that, by the way. If you're here as a Christian, you are grafted in. Jesus came and said that his message is for the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. And because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, we are grafted in to that family of believers. His message was not just for the Jewish people. His message was for all people. It was for the Gentiles, it was for the Jews, it was for everyone. We are considered anyone, if you don't understand, anyone who's not a Jew is considered a Gentile. That would include all of us unless you have some Jewish background in your family lineage that I don't know about or that you don't know about. But we have to be very careful when we see what's going on around us. Because right now there are signs in the universe. Let me even narrow it down. Signs in our earth right now and people who are really, really railing against the country of Israel. And it's something that we have to take a hard look at and understand. What I want you to do is I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel, an Old Testament prophet. It's in the book of the Old Testament. The Old Testament book of Ezekiel is in the Old Testament. He's a prophet who is prophesying about the country of Israel. And he has some interesting things to say. This is the birth, if you will, the birth place of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 37. We're going to be reading in verses 20 through 23. Ezekiel says, when the sticks on which you were are, let me start that over again. When the sticks on which you write are in your hand before their eyes, then say to them, thus says the Lord of the Lord God, behold, I will take the people of Israel from the nations among which they have gone, and will gather them for all around, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all, and they shall be no longer two nations, and no longer divided into kingdoms. They shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols and their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions, but I will save them from all of their backslidings in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Let's pause and pray, and then we'll jump in. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do for us, Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the ability to understand and have open eyes. Holy Spirit, we ask you that you just come in and remove any hindrances from our senses, any hindrances from our ears and from our minds to receive this information that you're giving to us today. Help us to digest these verses as we read through them, Father, understanding what it is and what is our role to play as we look at the country and the state of Israel, Father. Lord Jesus, we welcome your wisdom. We welcome your understanding. Holy Spirit, we ask you that you just deliver that deep into our hearts and our minds so that we can grasp and know how to respond in these days that we live in today. Lord, we glorify you, we honor you, we praise you. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words as you speak to us today. Help us today, Father, to grasp a hold of this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read something before we jump into this verse. Dr. Michael Brown, I don't know if anyone knows that name. You probably have heard of him. If you've listened to WCRF or Moody Bible Institute at all, you'll hear this really low voice. Man, I can't even go as low as he does. I used to fall asleep as a kid when I first came to know the Lord. I needed something to help me to sleep, and so he would be on late at night, and I would listen to him in his low tone. I mean, when we're talking bass, we're talking the lower tones of this bass voice, and he used to put me to sleep. He wrote a book that is called Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. And I'm going to read just a little portion of this book, and then I will explain what he was writing about. He says, the vast majority of Christians, even well-educated, are all but totally ignorant of what happened to Jews in history and of the culpable involvement of the church. It is little exaggeration to state that those pages of history Jews have committed to memory are the very ones that have been torn from Christian and secular history books. It's amazing. And what he's talking about specifically at that moment in time is what happened during the World War II. Do you know that many churches, there were several pastors who stood up for this, but the majority of churches in Germany at that time, and by the way, in the U.S., watched the desolation of Jews, the destruction of the Jewish people in concentration camps without even doing a single thing. In fact, it is a well-known history fact that many churches that surrounded the concentration camps in Germany on Sunday morning, the pastor would speak a little louder, and they would turn the music up in their very limited forms of PA systems that they had back then. But they would turn it up as loud as they can to drown out the sounds of the Jewish people being killed in concentration camps. It's a shame as we look at this and we see this. It is an amazing fact. Millions and millions of Jewish people were killed just because they are simply Jewish. It's amazing as we look at this. Today there are many history books and people who are beginning to, and even I had a conversation with a younger gentleman about a year ago, and he said, "Can you prove to me that the Holocaust was real?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I can." I said, I met an older gentleman who still had a tattoo on his arm of the number that was given to him. And he shared and spoke in great detail all of the issues that he faced during those times. But there's a movement today that is going on that is trying to downplay, if you will, what happened during those times. And also downplay what the country of Israel is all about and why we should, and why people should be against Israel, not for Israel. In fact, today, if you understand the geopolitical battle that's going on, you know that for many, many years, Hamas and Israel has been at war with each other. They've been lobbing bombs at each other over and over and over again, missiles, I should say, for many years. And this has been going on for many, many years. And so what happened, but we all know what happened on October 6th. You know what happened on that day. I don't need to rehash that, but you know the atrocities that happened, and you've known what has happened since then. Israel has moved into the Gaza Strip and has caused a lot of pain and suffering to a lot of Palestinians, but also as they're trying to remove the terrorist group of Hamas. By the way, do you know that 25% of Palestine supports Hamas 100%, says they are good for their country, 25%. There is another 50%, though, of Palestinians who wish Hamas would not be there at all. And so could you imagine? I mean, my heart goes out for these very people because here they are. Some of them don't want to be in the middle of this conflict. They don't want to be there, but they have Hamas telling them and controlling, by the way, a lot of the food and water and energy and all the things that they get. Hamas is controlling that as they try to destroy Israel. By the way, for all of those that don't know, Hamas has been around since about 1980, I think it was 85, 86, I could be wrong on that date, but they're a relatively new group. The founder of Hamas was mentored by a gentleman who was best friends and mentored by Adolf Hitler. In an 18-page report, the Hamas said in English, by the way, they said to that they sent to all countries, they're one of the main number one reasons for attacking Israel is because they want to destroy the state of Israel. They do not want the state of Israel to be around. They would like to destroy Israel and have Israel returned to them because they believe that they own the rights of all Palestine. They believe that Palestine should stretch, and you'll hear this, from the ocean to the, or from the mountains to the sea, or whatever, and everything in between. I don't even know what they say. From the river to the sea. Do you know by that very comment, from the river to the sea, you know what that means? They don't want Israel to be around at all. Do you know that Israel itself actually has at least four times since all of this began, has tried to come to an agreement with Palestine to give them their own state, to try to give them their own area. But every time, it hasn't been Israel that has denied this. This has been the Palestinians. We have to understand, though, that Israel is more than just another country on the map, on the globe. Israel is much more than that. See, the country of Israel, the promise was given to Abraham that the people would be given their land. Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37 are wonderful prophetic books that have come true. In 1948, the state of Israel was born. And this prophecy that Ezekiel talks about was true. But even way before that, Abraham was said that his land would be his descendants. The Israelites, the Jewish people, walked this desert for 40 years waiting to get into their promised land. This was land that was promised to them over and over and over again. And so when we begin to talk about the wars and we begin to talk about who should actually own this, we have to be very careful because it's not just the Palestinians who own this because, quite honestly, God gave this land. It's a chosen land given to the people of Israel. Again, today the cry against, if I would have read my notes, I should see this, from the mountains to the sea, Palestine shall be free. That means that there would be no Israel. Israel has done. Do you know that a large portion of the people that Israel takes into hospitals today are not actually from Israel? They're from surrounding countries. Do you know that today there are many things that are going on in this world that we don't hear about? How is such a small country, how is such a small geopolitical party, a geopolitical country in this world, such a powder keg of information? Of war, of displeasure amongst many people. It's because this battle is more than just people. It's not a flesh and blood. It is a spiritual battle that's going on. Because here's the point. If Israel cannot be established, if a third temple cannot be built in Israel, then Jesus Christ can never come and reign on this earth. And Satan wants to make sure that his people, his chosen people, by the way, if you're following at all scripturally, you have to understand that if God calls someone chosen, guess what they become to Satan? The enemy, immediately. Or better yet, a target. You have to understand that in Scripture, when God calls these people the chosen people, what he's saying is he's not calling them out above and beyond anyone else. He's not saying that they are better than anyone else. He is saying that they are the people that he has chosen to bless this world, which we're going to talk about in a moment, but he did bless those people. But we are to also understand that these are the very people that God chose to write the history of the world. And it also goes all the way up to the very end times. The history of Israel is going to be the end of the world, the rapture, every tribulation, the seven years, all of the things that we read about in Revelations starts and happens because of what's going on in Israel. And here we have the majority of American Christians and other Christians around the world that have very little, if any, idea about any of this. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now I want to pause there just for a moment, and I want to look at a couple things. Here is the Lord visiting Abraham. Widely known as the Abrahamic covenant, if you will. And this is widely known, or this is Abraham kind of doing his own little thing. And God comes to him and says, "Listen, I'm going to do something. This is the beginning of the restoration of the earth. Adam and Eve, God had a covenant, had a covenant with Adam and Eve. I don't know if you know that, but they broke that covenant by eating of the tree that they should not have ate of. And so what happened is that the world is now destroyed, and God has been trying to, from that time, build up different covenants with different people, trying to make the world right, if you will, to remove sin again from the world. He did this with Noah and the flooding of the earth, and he did all of these things. And then he finally gets to a place and he says, "Listen, I need to take care of things. Obviously, these humans that I made are stupid. They don't know what they're doing, and I need to..." No, I didn't. He didn't say that. That was my words, right? But what he said, what he does is he goes, "I'm going to make this right." And it's not like a new thought. God knew this from the creation of time. I'm not... Please don't hear me say that, please don't think that I'm saying that God just automatically, "I better do this." No, God knew what he was doing. He says, "Now," he goes, "go from your country." He calls Abram out of, this is Abram at the time, he's not yet Abraham, but he calls Abram from his land, and he says, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name so great, I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Abraham today, if you go into the country of Israel and you say, many people think that they'll say, "Abraham, my father Abraham," right? What's the Sunday school? Someone help me who can sing. "My father Abraham had many sons, my many sons had father Abraham," right? That's... What's that? Yeah. I almost said something I can't say from the pulpit. I gave you something to stick in your ears. I'll just say that, okay? "But I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Then he goes on to say, "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse." Do you know, listen, one of the smallest countries is Israel in terms of land size. But go back and look at once they become a nation and God calls them all back into Israel, look at what has happened to Israel. Look at the wars that they have fought and who have gone against them. Look at the countries that have cursed Israel and where they stand today, and the countries who have blessed. See, I believe, and maybe I'm crazy, but I still believe that one of the reasons why we as a nation here in the United States is blessed is because we have blessed Israel. And when our hand of blessing is removed from Israel, so will God's blessing from this country. And we will face many things. But understand that he goes on to Abraham. God says to Abraham one other thing that is very interesting. "And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Do you know what that is? You know who that is? Side note, because this is coming up later. This is Jesus. God is telling Abraham that through you, Jesus is going to come and all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Do you understand that if Israel and the Jewish people didn't exist, we would never have Jesus and none of us would be here? Let's look at this for a moment. The Abraham covenant says that Israel will have its own land. Number one, Israel will have its own land. That's what the Abrahamic covenant or the Abraham covenant says. Number two, they will be a blessing to all nations. Part of that is through Jesus. But I will tell you also, the Jewish people are some of the most innovative people that you'll meet today. I don't have time to read all of these things, but it's amazing about what has come out of that small little country of Israel. Do you know that many of the medical, if today you're sitting in here and you have some type of medical device in you, a good chance that 90% of that medical device was created or built in Israel. That includes most pacemakers, that includes most artificial limbs, that includes if you have dialysis machines that you use or any bolus machine, you know what a bolus machine is? It's a little thing that keeps giving you medication. All of those things, almost all of the medical equipment we have today was at least, if it wasn't engineered, it was created and built in Israel. But this also goes on to say that they will be a blessing to all nations. We've talked about that. But then he says, those who bless Israel will be blessed. Over and over again, we could bring up history lessons and we could tell you that when people have blessed Israel, they have been blessed. When people have cursed Israel, they've been cursed. This has happened over and over and over again. I don't have time to go through the history of all of these things and look at this, but this is very true. But I ask you again, why is the disdain so large in these people against Israel? Because of these types of things. The fact comes down to this. I believe that we as a country are blessed as we honored God's commandments. But if we remove our hand, I also believe that that blessing will be removed. It has shown over and over again. So what are we supposed to do? The state of Israel is here today. The state of Israel is very important. The state of Israel is there. Now listen, I'm not saying that the state of Israel is perfect because they are by far not perfect. They're God's chosen people that God chose to establish his kingdom here on this earth through those chosen people. But as normal, they are human beings, and as being human beings, we have made mistakes. They have made mistakes over and over and over again. But take a step back and just say, let them figure it out. They'll figure it out. We can't do that. God doesn't allow us to do that. And so we have to learn, what do we do as Christians? What are we supposed to do as individuals of God's family here on this earth? What are we supposed to do when we are faced with these things? Number one, we have to understand that Jewish hate is nothing new. Jewish hate has been going on since the very early days of this world. Even before Israel, even before Abraham, there was Jewish hate. This goes back centuries. Egypt wanted to destroy the Jews when Pharaoh gave the order to murder the baby boys, Exodus 1. Ancient Persia, modern Iran, wanted to eradicate the Jews through the wicked plot of Haman. That's Esther chapter 3. Fast forward to Adolf Hitler and his final solution to destroy the Jewish people and the ultimate murder of over 6 million of them in the Holocaust. Do you understand that 6 million people? The country of Israel is not, I think it's approaching 10 million people. But 6 million, over half of their people, were destroyed in the Holocaust. Yet we find not how many years after that. When did World War II end? Anyone know? 1945, 46, right? Yep. So 1945, 2 years later, we find Israel being restored and be called a nation for the first time. After 6 million of them were destroyed and killed in the Holocaust. Today we have Hamas committing murders and unthinkable things. But we have to be very careful because God always intervenes on the behalf of his chosen people. He raised up Moses to deliver the Jews from the Pharaoh in Egypt. He raised up Queen Esther to use her influence to save her fellow Jews from the plot of destroying them. After the Holocaust, God raised up the Jews themselves to return to their homeland and become a nation again on May 14th, 1948 was the actual date. Again, I ask you, why this hatred for the Jewish people? Because Satan hates what God loves. It's very clear to me, and if you have open eyes to see, you'll be able to see that today many of the atrocities that are happening in the world against the Jewish people and the protests that are going on is because people don't truly understand, number one, they don't understand the value of having a unified Israel and having Israel there. They also don't know the political, they don't always know the political, geopolitical stage and what Israel has tried to do to solve that issue in their own land. They also don't know what's going to happen in the forward times. Do you know that, and I'm giving away a little bit of next week's sermon, but that's okay. Do you know that in the end times, the Jewish people are going to be completely surrounded? Completely surrounded and attacked from the north. The country from the north is going to fund that attack. That country from the north, by the way, is many believe that is Soviet Union or Russia, but we'll talk about that next week. After the Holocaust and the nation of Israel became a nation, the attacks of Israel began. Deuteronomy 7, verses 7 through 8 says, "The Lord did not send his heart on you and chose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you, and he was keeping the oath that he had sworn to your ancestors." Ancestors, that's easy for me to say. "That is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from your oppression hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." That's Deuteronomy 7, 7 through 8. We have to understand that we must learn to stand against this Jewish hatred. Listen, I'm not, I'm not going to idly stand by and watch college kids, college young adults, let me rephrase that. And it's not all of them, because I understand. I'm very clear on this. I know that this is, it's a small portion. By the way, just another side note, do you know that the average protester is getting paid $7,000 to be protesting today? If we all in the church would go protest for a couple days and we got $7,000, that would go a far way in making our building campaign go a lot farther, right? Anyone going to go? Anyone want to go? And by the way, if you're arrested and sent to jail, you get paid more money. I don't know if you knew that. This is true. There's documents that are out there today. However, having said that, listen, a lot of these young adults that are protesting against Israel are doing this because they feel like Israel is attacking Hamas and they're doing genocide. Now, I want to ask you, and I want to be very careful about this because it is the art of war, right? If anyone has ever read the book, The Art of War, it's an amazing book. It's a book that I would encourage you to read. It was written a long, long time ago. But in the art of war, when you attack a country is going to respond and attack you. Today, in our art of war, the way that we look at things today is oftentimes when a country is attacked, we feel like we should just attack individual locations, right? We just need to attack the government. We can't attack the people. The people need to be protected. And thank God that's the way. Many people have been saved in wars across the world since World War II because of that reason. However, when you are a terrorist organization and you hide amongst the people and then you proclaim or claim that the people have been killed because of, and they targeted hospitals, targeted other things, what is a country to do to defend itself? Does it not have the right to defend itself? It does. What do we do as Christians? Well, first of all, we have to understand that Jewish hate is nothing new. It is there. You don't have to, listen, and I want to be very clear again on this, because you don't have to love the people who are leading Israel today. You don't. But we are to honor the country of Israel because that's what God, and the people of Israel because that's what God calls us to do. Do I honor some of the people that are in our government today? Only because of their position. Let me face that. Do I agree with everything that they do? Absolutely not. But I still pray for them. I still believe that they're leading one of the greatest countries in the world, and that's the United States, of course. And so I pray for them. But we have to understand that we have to stand up. Listen, Jewish hate is nothing new, but so is hate just period. Hate of other people. Why? We have to be very careful that we stop just standing up for this kind of hate or this kind of hate, but we're going to turn a blind eye. If Israel was not more than just a geopolitical movement, where was all the outcry when Russia attacked Ukraine? Where are the college campuses that are up and where are the people saying, stop taking Russian oil? You know that Russia still provides the United States with billions and billions of barrels of oil today? And you don't see any of the you don't see anybody in college campuses saying, stop the oil. You don't see that. Why? Do you know that Russia has slaughtered, is the best word to say, hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians? And where is the outcry for that? Where was the outcry? There was an outcry on October 7th that lasted maybe one day, and that was on the new several news stations. But you did not find people marching in cities. You did not find people trying to shut down streets and do all of these things because of the Palestinians coming in and murdering. Let me rephrase it. I'm sorry. Hamas coming in and murdering the Jewish people. You can always keep me in line, Lena. And so we have to understand that it wasn't, again, where was the outcry for that? There isn't. See, the problem with all of this is that this is a spiritual battle that's going on, that has been going on for all of creation and all of time. And the average person, because they're not connected to the spiritual nature, have no clue what to do with this. But when you're connected, when spiritually, when you read scripture and you open up scripture and it says all these things that we've just read, you have to understand that it's time that we have to do something. You can't just stand by and idly watch these things happen. We have to share what is actually going on. So what I encourage you to do is, if Jewish hate is nothing new, stand up against it. But don't just stand up against Jewish hate, also stand up against all hate. Share with people why they shouldn't hate each other, why they should love people. Do this. It's a perfect opportunity to share the love of Christ with someone. Number two, Jesus is Jewish. I don't know if you knew this. Shocker. Here we go. But your Savior, who died on the cross for you, who paid your price for your sins, the only reason why you have eternity in heaven, was a Jewish man. And so if you don't want to follow a Jewish man, then I'm sorry. If you don't want to stand up for, I'm sorry, but I want to stand up for what he stood up for. He stood up for the Jewish people. Maybe not everything that's going on, right? He'd probably have some things to say. But for the most part, he would say they were his chosen people, and so he would stand up for them. And guess what? So do I. He stood up for the Jewish people even though they were the very ones that crucified him on the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Talking about struggling with something, talking about the very men who are killing you, you're asking God to forgive, but then you're going to stand up for them. That's an amazing fact. It's an amazing thought, just to digest that for a moment. Today, in many churches, there is a teaching called the replacement theology, meaning that today, the people of Jesus has replace the Jewish people as a chosen people. Let me be the first to tell you that if you ever hear of replacement theology, that is completely unbiblical and it is wrong and you should speak up against it. We have not replaced the Jewish people. Just because we live in the great country of the United States doesn't mean that we can replace everyone. And that's where this comes from, by the way. This replacement theology is actually from the United States. And we believe that because we are Christians, we are the people. We are God's chosen people. We've replaced the chosen people of past. That's not true. If it was true, then you would find no record of the Jewish people in the end times. You'd find no record of Israel, the state of Israel, and all of the things that are going to happen in the end times. And it's all over Scripture. Replacement theology is hogwash, and you should treat it as that. We have been blessed through the tribe of Judah. Our world was blessed by our Savior, who was, by the way, a Jewish man. understanding your heritage in which you were grafted into, without the Jewish people, Jesus would have never came to this earth. Psalm 122, verses 1 through 9 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing with your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. The thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Verse 7, peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. David's writing this psalm, and this is an amazing psalm, but it brings us to the third point of what we are to do. Well, the third point is simply, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's an amazing fact, but if you know biblical history at all, you know that the city of Jerusalem is a very interesting place and has been for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. It, of course, was the location of the temple. We know last week we talked about that. We'll talk a little bit more about the temple next week, but we see that the temple was over and over and over again built in Jerusalem. We also find that there is many other things that happen in Jerusalem. This is where the council, the temple, the Caiaphas and his band of brothers, is the best way for me to say it, were there in Jerusalem. It's also the place where Jesus was ultimately tried, convicted, and then also crucified on the hill outside of Jerusalem, Golgotha. We find that this is also the place where, for many years of Jesus' ministry on this earth, he would try to go into, but oftentimes was chased out of or attempted to be killed while he was in Jerusalem because the people denied him. When we talk about Jerusalem and we talk about the country of Israel, there is no doubt that this is a sticky topic. Or as my grandfather used to say, a sticky wicket. But it's a sticky topic that we have to understand. But you have to be very, I want to be very clear in my comments to you and just say that this. When God said to Abraham that those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed, he wasn't just talking about thousands of years ago. That blessing, that Abrahamic covenant, still applies today. And so when we find our opportunity to stand up for the country of Israel, when we find and we find a place to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, meaning pray for Israel, we should. We should stand up against the atrocities that are going on in that country, and we should call them out for the atrocities that they do on other nations too. I'm not saying that we should not. If they have done something that they should not have done, we should be very clear on that. But that doesn't mean that we remove our hand or our prayers on that country. We need to keep our hands on that country because that is, by the way, the place where Jesus is going to come back to reign. Do you understand this? Jesus isn't going to reign in the United States. I'm sorry, as much as I would love for Jesus to come down in my yard and reign from my house for 1,000 years after that, it's a beautiful yard, Ted. Don't get me wrong, right? It's a beautiful place. I live real close to a lake. You know, everything you need is right there. The truth of the matter is, though, Jesus isn't coming back to the United States. Jesus isn't coming back to Russia. Jesus isn't coming back to South Africa or any of those other places. He's coming back to Israel, to Jerusalem. And so today, when we understand what's going on, you have to understand that this is not just simply, again, a geopolitical battle. This is a battle of spiritualness that's going on like never before. Israel will not be loved, and many people will fall away from the love of Israel, what Scripture tells us. Many people will. Because why? Because a spiritual battle. Satan is going to attack his people, his chosen people, God's chosen people, I should say. And he's going to attack them to get them to be overcome by the power that he gives to them. They want to overcome him because God's chosen people are in that country of Israel. Our Savior, who is Jewish, still loves his people, and he's going to return to those people. And so we have to understand that someday Jesus is going to come down and he's going to reign in Israel. Do you know that the whole country of Israel is going to be given an opportunity to come to a salvation of Jesus Christ? That's what Scripture tells us. They're going to be given that opportunity to do that. That doesn't mean that all will, but they will be given the opportunity, like everyone else will get the opportunity. Scripture tells us that Jesus will not return to this earth until all men, he wants all men to have the opportunity. That's why when we talk about the 1040 window, right? You've heard of that before. I'm sure you probably heard of that. The unreached people groups from the 1040, the longitude, latitude lines. We'll talk about that more in a later sermon. But you have to understand that our job is to reach those people. I want to tell you that, listen, over the last, 6 to 8 months, I've had a wonderful opportunity to sit with and talk with Jewish rabbis. Most interesting conversation I ever had was I sat down with this Jewish rabbi, and he looked at me and he said, Jason, he said, tell me about your salvation in Jesus Christ. And I said, you want me to tell you what? If you understand, Jewish people don't believe that Jesus was their Messiah, and so therefore they're still waiting for their Messiah to come back. Jesus was not a Messiah. Jesus was a good person. They missed the boat on that. However, when I sat down with him, I began to talk to him, and he said to me, he goes, listen, our belief is that most of the people in the United States hate Israel. We see it on the news. We see it in places. And I looked at him, and I said, we do not hate you at all. I said, we may misunderstand, but we do not hate you. And he goes, it has been and always will be the world v. Israel. And he goes, we're just lucky to have a few people who stand behind us occasionally from time to time. It is why many advances, one of the greatest advances that happen in military arms today happens in Israel. I don't know if you know that or not. But if you're surrounded by the world, the world's attacking you, you better figure out how to defend yourself fairly quickly. And they have. Let me encourage you that to read up on history. Instead of watching the news or watching what someone tells you to go protest about or hearing protests, read up on history. Read up on biblical history first. Get a grounding in what... Spend some time in the book of Genesis reading what God says to Abraham about the country of Israel. Spend some time in Ezekiel 36, 37, and 38 and the prophecy that was given to Ezekiel to give to the Israelite people. Pay attention to what God says about what's going to happen in Revelations and what's going to happen in Matthew and all the other places, the end time Corinthians and all the end time theology that we read about. Pay attention to who's standing there. Who's going to be there? We're going to talk about some of this next week and talk about who's going to be standing, because it's interesting, as we see in Revelations, when we talk about Gog and Magog and the battle, the great battle that will happen, we know that certain nations will be there and certain nations will not. By the way, there's no promise that the United States will ever be there. That doesn't mean that we won't support them, or we will be supporting them, or we will be a nation, we won't be a nation. I don't know. Stand up against that. Learn your biblical history of Israel. Understand what came out of Israel. Understand that our salvation comes from Israel, and then stand for the country of Israel. Don't let these protests that are happening across the nation pull you away from what you truly understand and know, that God is still blessing those who bless Israel, and he's cursing those who curse Israel. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and will you stand with me, please? As the worship team comes, I have one last word to those who are protesting against Israel. Over the course of history, those who stood against Israel, it did not turn out well. From the very first battle that we find in yes, for hundreds of years they were captive. Yes, for hundreds of years things, they were thrown into fires. There were all these other, I mean, every biblical story that you read. But every one of those people, every one of those people that stood against Israel met a fate. Let me put it that way. And when I say met, I'm not talking about meta like Facebook, but met a end that was not good. And so if you're here today and you want to protest against Israel, that is your choice. That is your freedom, because we live in a country that allows us to do that. But just understand it has not gone well for those who stood against Israel in the past. And understand that our God stands by his word. And his words is that he stands for and he will bless Israel all the way to the end of times. Do you know that in Revelations, the great battle that happens, all the nations that come against Israel, you know who comes down to save them? Jesus. That's right. Jesus comes down to save his people. Now, I may be just a country boy, but I know that if I'm picking sides, listen, when I was in primary school, we didn't do this in high school, thank God, but when I was in primary school, and you know, we were picking teams of who's going to be on the, guess who you always picked? Pick the strongest, biggest guy you could have on your team, right? I want the God to be on my side that has never lost before and never will. Scripture tells us that Jesus is going to be there that one day. That he's going to come down and in a great revival for the people of Israel, but also for to destroy the people who are against him. My love of Israel isn't based on the leaders of that country. My love for Israel is based upon the fact that we are grafted into them through Jesus, that Jesus was Jewish, and that he tells us to bless them. We are grafted into this. That makes them family. And in my book, you don't mess with family. I might still love you, but I might beat the crap out of you, and then I'll love you. May I encourage you today to do this? Now listen, I know this is a little bit of an awkward sermon. It's a little bit of a history lesson more than anything else, but I need you to stay with me here for a moment. And what I want you to understand as I bring this to a close is that the only way that you can know how special Israel is if you know the words that are inside this book. And so if you're not reading your book, if you're not reading the Bible, and you're not paying attention to what's going on here, then you're not going to understand what's going on here. And so may I encourage you today that as you open up your scripture and you begin to see, just mark down how many times God says, Israel, the chosen people. Read, there are many Bible studies online that you can get that says what God says about Israel. Read through them. God judges his people of Israel, by the way. I'm not saying that they are free of judgment, because they are not. But for us today, it is our job as Christians to stand up against hatred, especially Jewish hatred. It's our job to speak the truth and to serve our God and to do what makes him happy. So may I encourage you today that you do that, that you understand the special place that Israel has in God's heart, and therefore how special they are. If he loved his chosen people, you know how much he loves you and I? He loves us so much so that he didn't want to leave us Gentiles. He grafted us into that family. And so we must understand that Israel today is an important political topic, certainly, but it's more of a biblical battle that's going on that we have to be aware of. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for your heart for us as people, Father. Lord, I ask you again, just help us to understand your heart for Israel and what it means for us today. What can we do, Father? Stand against hatred, stand against all of those things that are going on, stand against and for the country, stand against those who oppose and stand for the country of Israel. Father, yes, you have called us to do all of those things, and we want to do that, Lord Jesus. But more importantly than any of these other things, Father, you have called us to be part of that family, and you have engrafted us into that family by our salvation in Jesus Christ. And so today, Lord Jesus, we ask you that you help us to draw near to you, closer than ever before, so that we can accept you, to know you, to walk with you as our Savior, and to know what to do in these times that we are in, Father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being here for us. We pray, Father, may today, Lord, may we not be like the German church of World War II. That when the hatred and the concentration camps and all that happened, we turned a blind eye to it. We were quiet. We didn't say a word. Lord, let us know that that is not, whatever hatred is going on in this world, let us not stand for that. But let us speak up for those that can't be spoken for. Let us stand up for those that you love and the things that you love, Father. Help us today to be the family that you've called us to be, Lord Jesus. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it starts with an acceptance of what he did on the cross. It starts with an acceptance of who he is. Romans 10 verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that he has been raised for our sins, was crucified on the cross, raised from the dead, he can live inside of you. It starts with that, but it really begins with us turning away from our sin and walking towards Jesus. If you're here today or watching at home online, you've never said those words, let today be that day. If you're here today and that you have this difficulty with what's going on with Israel and you have questions in your mind, then what I want to ask you to do is just seek him out. Ask him for the wisdom, the understanding, to understand that. The Lord is not silent to your prayers. He will hear and respond to those prayers. Father, help us today to draw close to you, to be close to you, to love what you love, and to stand for you and with you in all things. We'll be sure to give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Golden rainbows of every color, flashes of lightning, roars of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation God is in. Praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Adore you, Lord.
We will adore you.
Can you imagine that day? That day when we're all surrounding the throne together. And it doesn't matter what country you're from or whether you're man or female or who you are, whether you had a problem with your neighbor or not, or any of these things, it doesn't matter. We'll just all be around the throne singing this wonderful song of worship. Praise be to you. But all struck in wonder, as the next verse was saying, that we will be as we praise him. What a day that will be. Problem is, we live in today. We're not in the not yet to come, but we are in the we're getting there stage. And so let's try to spread that today, that love, that peace, the joy of Jesus with those that are around us, standing for what he stands for, loving the way that he loved, and serving the way that he served. Can we do that today? Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Help us today, Father, as we go forth from this place, knowing the words to say, having the wisdom to speak, the times to speak and the times not to speak, Father. Let us know what to say and when to say, Father. Let us be with you, Holy Spirit. Come and guide us this week as we go along our way. May we be blessed by you in all that we do and say, Father, because you deserve that and so much more. May we be a blessing to you. May we be your hands and feet as we go home to our own places to serve you, Father. Let us serve you the way that you deserve to be served. We glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Hope to see you again next week.